All right, good morning, B'shus Rabbi Krohn. We are on Daf Lamed. We are going to start actually in the very bottom of Chav Tes Amid Beis. So we had learned previously in the Mishnah, there was the question, the topic was, if someone makes a declaration that, you know, these trees are Hekdesh until I cut them down or until they fall down and whatnot. And then if he redeems them in the middle, what happens? So we had learned this rule of Arpada that said that if he redeems them, they just automatically become Hekdesh again, because he had said that they're Hekdesh until they're cut down. So as long as they're not in a cut down state, he could redeem them 50 times and they immediately go back to being Hekdesh once again. There was further discussion about even when they're cut down, do they still need to be redeemed, or they automatically go away from being redeemed? But in any event, so we're going to start where it says, Yosef, Rav Avin, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Kamei, Rav Yirmiyah. So Rav Avin and Rav Yitzchak, who is the son of Rebbe, were sitting in front of Rav Yirmiyah. The Kamei Nam named Rav Yirmiyah, and Rav Yirmiyah was falling asleep. Yosef, the Kamei, and as they sat there, they said, Levarpada, according to Barpada, again, Barpada said that, you know, you have, if you redeem these things, they come back automatically. If you redeem these trees, and they automatically become Hekdesh again, going to Daf Lamed. Tifsha Devai Rabbi Hoshea. You can resolve this question of Rabbi Hoshea, which was, Hanosin Shtei Prutas Leisha. Someone gives two coins to a woman, for Amalani says to her, with the first coin, you are betrothed to me today. You're married to me today. The achas, and the second coin, is kachshali la'achas argarshech. The second coin means I marry you after I divorce you. So in other words, I'm going to marry you with this coin number one. Then eventually, at some point, I'm going to divorce you. And after I divorce you, the second coin remarries you. Right, so the question is that second marriage take effect with the second coin? Does that work? Hachi nami d'havi kidshu. So according to what Barpada said, it would in theory be a second marriage because he made the stipulation that this thing is existent, even if you redeem it in the middle. In other words, he's making the analogy that divorcing is the equivalent of redeeming, even if you redeem it in the middle. It would allow her to be remarried with the virtue of having the second coin. So, you know, it's not quite the same because he's putting a second coin, but he's setting it up from the beginning. When I divorce you, or if I divorce you, this second coin automatically remarries you, right? So it's a similar case. So maybe that proves out like we had learned from Barpada. So Itar Rav Yirmiyah woke up and he didn't like this. Amalahu, he said to them, "My kai medbison padan ha lepadan acherim." How do you compare a case where he's redeeming trees to a case where other people are redeeming the trees? So, in other words, if I make this declaration that these trees are hekdesh until they fall down or I cut them down, if I redeem them, they automatically become Hekdesh again, because I was the one who set up the whole system. But if Arnon comes along and he redeems them, once he redeems them, they're completely out of my jurisdiction. So the fact that I made them Hekdesh, in theory, takes them out of my jurisdiction. So that, in theory, should break the cycle, right? So if I redeem them, I had already said they're Hekdesh until they're cut down. So I could redeem them 1,000 times and they automatically go back to becoming Hekdesh. When Arnon does it, he takes it away from me. And therefore, by taking it away from me, it's no longer in this cycle of Hekdesh. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Padan hu chozos hakotros. If he redeems them, if the original person redeems the trees, they automatically become Hekdesh again. However, Padam acherim ein chozos hakotros. If someone else, Arnon, comes along and he redeems them, they don't automatically go back to being Hekdesh, because once they're in the possession of a new owner, then whatever influence I had over these trees goes away. So the fact that I declared them Hekdesh, once they're redeemed, they're no longer Hekdesh. And my statement is irrelevant because I no longer own these trees. The Isha, when it comes to a woman, Kifadua Achirim Dami. It's similar to the case of similar to the case of someone else redeeming them. Because when you do, when someone divorces a woman, he basically says, "Harei amuteras ka'adam." He basically says, "I'm releasing you from my jurisdiction. You're now available to every other man." So when he does that, she leaves his jurisdiction, and therefore that second coin thing shouldn't work because it's no longer in his jurisdiction. So therefore, what Barpada says doesn't really help. So itamar nami, we also have learned amar ami amar Rabbi Yochanan lo shanu ela shapadanhu, that the case of the trees, again, this is more proof that the case of the, about the case of the trees. In the case of the trees, it only works if he's the one, it only happens where it goes back and it comes hektish again if he's the one that redeems them. Ava padam acherim ein chosos kedoshos. But if someone else comes along, Arnon comes along and he redeems them, the whole thing ends. Okay, next. Now we're going to do a few mishnayos that are similar in the sense of it comes down to what's included or excluded in the terminology that's used. Hanoder miyardei hayam. Someone who makes a neder that he's not allowed to benefit from people that go out to sea, seafarers. Mutar biyoshvehei abasha. He's allowed, he's permitted to have benefit from people that are land dwellers. And flip side, if he makes a neder miyoshvehei abasha, if I make a neder that I'm not going to get benefit from land dwellers, aser miyardei hayam. He's also forbidden to benefit even from the people that go out to sea. Because people that go out to sea, there's no one who goes out to sea forever. People eventually come back to land. So someone who even is who's a sea dweller, at some point is a land dweller. So in the first case where he says, I am people who are seafarers, I are usher to me. Okay, it's a defined class, people that go out to sea. People that are on land, they're not people that go out to sea. People that go out to sea, though, if you make this reverse declaration, I am usher to people that go out to sea, even those people come back to the land. So therefore, it would in the case that case would include both. If the low elu kishalcha be akli liyafon, and this next statement to the Mishnah, it's a good Gemara is going to jump on it and ask what it's talking about, and this does not include people that go simply on a small voyage from Akko to Yaffa, which is a short distance. Ela Misha Darka Lafarish, the people who goes on a long voyage. So it's not talking about someone who goes on a jet ski and goes from Akko to Yaffa. That's not considered a seafarer. It's talking about someone that goes on a long cruise or a long voyage. So the Gemara's going to go right to it and say, what are we talking about here? So going into the Gemara, Rav Papa, Rav Acha, Braid, Rav Ika, Chad Masniya Reksha, Chad Masniya Seva. One of them says that this last statement of Akko to Yaffa applies to the first part of the Mishnah, which talks about making a neder against the people that are seafarers. And one says, no, it's about making a neder on land dwellers. So, the one who learns that it's about the Reisha, about the seafarers, what he's really saying is, someone who makes a neder against people that are seafarers is allowed to have benefit from the people that are land dwellers. Ha biyoder hayam aser, meaning from this, you learn from this that people that go out to sea are aser to him. Velo ke'elu, and not like those, ha'holchim me'akol yafo. And it's not like those, and we're not talking about, it's excluding those people that we're talking about that are just going from Akko to Yafo. Dehalin yoshe yabashininu, because people that do that are strictly considered land dwellers. Because all you're doing is you're going on this short trip from Teaneck to Bergenfield. It's not really going on being a sea dweller. Ela mi shadark lafarsh. We're really talking about someone who is really going out to sea. And the one who says it's like the second, like the Sefer. The Sefer talked about the making a neder against the land dwellers. Aman de masti asefa masti hali. How does he learn? Hanoder miyoshah yabasha, someone who makes a neder against that he's not going to benefit from the people that live on the land. Usher biyardei hayam, he's usher for those that go out to sea. V'lo ke'elu holcha mi'akal yafo bilvad, and not only does that apply to people that go on these short distances, you might say that they're considered land dwellers. Ela hafilu hachi mi'kshadarka lefarsh. Even so, even someone who goes on, a 6-month voyage out to sea, why? Because eventually he's going to come back to land. So one holds it applies to the Reisha, one holds it applies to the Sefer. Next Mishnah. Hanoda me roe hachama. Someone who makes a neder that they don't get benefit from those who see the sun. Aser af besumim. He's forbidden to get benefit even from someone who is, God forbid, blind. Because you might say, you know, the blind person can't really see the sun. But it doesn't include the blind. It doesn't exclude the blind person, but it really means it excludes those who the sun does not see. The Gemara will explain what that means, but it's basically those who the sun sees, not those who see the sun. My time, a Gemara. What is the reason that we are interpreted this way? Midloka Amar min haroin. We didn't say that he is making a noder against those who are sighted, those who can see. They use this strange language of those who the sun can see. So what is it talking at? Lafuke dagim vubarim. It means to include the things that the sun doesn't see, which are fetuses and fish and things that are not technically visible to the sun. Because, you know, a fish is obscured by the water and a fetus is obscured by the mother's body. So that's really what's excluded from here. So it wouldn't. So it's basically what the sun sees as opposed to who can see the sun. Okay, next Mishnah. Hanoder mishochrei harosh. Someone who makes a neder not to benefit from dark-headed people. Usser, he is usser even to people who are krachim, people who are bald, uvali sevos, and people with gray hair or white hair. So it's not just dark-haired people. So it's people who are bald or people that have gray or white hair. Umutter, but it does not apply benashim ubiktanim to women and to children. Sheinikraim shkoy rosh el anashim. The only people that are called dark-headed people are men. So, you know, similarly, the Gemara is going to ask my time, why do we learn it this way? Why do we learn that it's inclusive of the bald people and exclusive of women, etc.? Why do we learn it that way? Because we didn't learn specifically, we're talking about people with hair. We learned that this is dark-headed. So what are we talking about? Umutar benashim uvektanim. It's allowed, the Mishnah also said that the people that are excluded, that are not usher to him, are women and children. She'ein nekrayim shkari harosh el anashim. The only people that are called dark-headed are men. So, or not children and not women. My time, what's the reason? Anashim, when it comes to men, zimnin demichsu rasheyu, v'zimnin demiglu rasheyu. There are times that they cover their heads, and times that they don't cover their heads. Aval nashim l'olam michsahu. Women always cover their heads. Uktanim l'olam migdalan. And children never cover their heads. So therefore, the term, when you say someone who's dark-headed, would never apply to a woman, because you would refer to her as a covered-haired person. And it never applies to children, because you would refer to them as an uncovered children. So therefore, because of this, we learn that it applies to all men. It doesn't apply to women or children. It even applies to men who are bald or have gray hair as a result. Okay, good. Next Mishnah. Hanoder min ha-yiludim. Someone who makes a neder not to benefit from yiludim, which technically means people who are already born, mutar benoldim, is also permitted to get benefit from people who will be born in the future. However, someone who says min ha-noladim, someone who benefits from the noladim, which could mean people that are born in the future, aser min ha-yiludim, is also forbidden to benefit from people that are already born. So it would include both people who are born and people who are not yet born. Rabbi Meir mater af b'yiludim. Rabbi Meir would allow him to benefit even from those already born. He wouldn't exclude them. V'chachamim omrim u'niskavin zeh elami shadarka lihivaleid. What he really means by this is to say that he's going to forbid himself from benefit from anyone who is whose nature is to be born. So that wouldn't be inclusive of people that are born and people that are that are not yet born. So going to the Gemara, so that Rabbi Meir had learned that we talk of that people that are already born are excluded from the Noladim Neder. Rabbi Meir Lo Yibali Noladim, he says that it does not include Noladim. Ella mima man da aser. So who is he not allowed to benefit from? Right? Who did he mean to exclude? So the Gemara says, Chasuri mechsa v'hakitani. The Mishnah is missing some words. What it really means to say is, Hanoder min ha-yiludim muta b'noladim. Someone who makes a neder to not get benefit from yiludim, people who are born, is permitted to benefit from the people that will be born. Min hanoladim aser biludim. It's someone who makes a neder not to benefit from noladim is forbidden to benefit even from those already born. However, Rabbi Meir Omer, af hanoder min hanoladim muta biludim. He says even someone who makes a neder that not to benefit from noladim is allowed to benefit from those already born. Just as someone who makes a neder not getting benefit from yeludim is allowed to benefit from those that are born in the future. So he says, you know, it works the same way both ways. If you say noladim, it can't mean people that are born already. And if it says yeludim, it can't mean people that are already born. Ella le rapapa labai, but rapapa said to Abaye, the questioning what Rav Meir just said, Lameimra, the Noladim, the Misaldim Mashma. Are we saying that the term Noladim means people that are born in the future? So the question is, what does the word Noladim really mean? Elama'ata, we learn in a pasuk, we learn by Yaakov, he said, Shnei Banecha, meaning Ephraim and Menashe, Hanoladim Lecha Be'eretz Yisrael. Right? He's giving the bracha to Yosef about Ephraim and Menashe, and Ephraim and Menashe are already born. And he refers to them as Noladim. So Haichinami Dia Saldin, we know that they're already born. So if they're already born, how can we say Noladim means people that are not yet born? Velamai Dieldu Mashma, but what is the alternative? Does that really mean people that are already born? Elama'at Dichsiv, we have another pasuk that says, Hine Ved Nolad Levain David Yoshiashma, that a son is going to be born to the house of David, and his name is Yoshia. So, and that obviously had not yet happened. Heichinami Dahava. You could already say that it was born. Even Menashe, who was Yoshia's grandfather, was not yet born. So, you know, basically at that time, this person wasn't born, and it says, Bein Nolad Ben David. You know, so we have a case of a pasuk that says Noladim, which talks about people that are born. And a case of a pasuk that says Nolad, we're talking about people that are not yet born. But Noladim could mean future, and it could mean past tense. So it could work either way. Uven Nedarim, but when it comes to the Nedarim, what do? Halach achar lashon b'nei Adam. We follow what typical people do. The Chachamim say, when it's Kavim Zeh, Elamisha Darka Livala. But what we really mean by this is people who are, or not even people, things that are naturally born. And what does that come to exclude? Lafuke Mai, Lafuke Dagim Ba'ofas. It talks about fish and birds that hatch from eggs and they're not yet born. Right, so let's just quickly go through the next Mishnah, and then we'll pause, and we'll let Rabbi Kohn pick up next week. Hanoda Meshosvei Shabbos, one who makes a neder not to get benefit from people who rest on Shabbos. Aser b'Yisrael v'aser b'Kutim. He's not allowed to benefit either from Jewish people or from the Kutim. The Kutim were people that didn't observe all the mitzvos. If he says ma'ochei shum, I don't get a neder from people that eat garlic. Aser b'Yisrael v'aser b'Kutim. He's not allowed to get benefit both from Jews and from Kutim, because Ezra had made some sort of takana that garlic should be eaten before on Erev Shabbos. So, you know, they were referred to as garlic eaters. Me'ole Yerushalayim. And if he says people that go up to Yerushalayim, aser b'Yisrael u'mutar b'Kutim. In that case, he's allowed to benefit from the Jews, but he's not allowed to benefit from the Kutim, because Jews are fulfill ole regel, but Kutim don't. So here, we'll pause here, and we'll pick up Mitzvah Shem next week.